It remains unclear right now if Republicans have enough votes to pass their version of health care reform, and the vote is today. Here's the message to Republicans from the White House this morning, delivered by Budget Director Mick Mulvaney on ABC's Good Morning America.
You've had 7 years to work on this. Now's the time. This is not, say what you want to about Donald Trump, this is not an ordinary politician. He wants to do this, and he wants to do it now. He also wants to move on to things like tax reform, infrastructure, restructuring the government, putting people back to work. He's not willing to wait the several months that an ordinary president would.
So is this the art of the deal, a president saying, walk away from the table? Does that transfer from business to politics? Let's take a look at this week, which is going out with a bang. Either way, we're joined by Greg Moore, former editor of the Denver Post and visiting journalism professor at the University of Colorado. Hi, Greg.
Hi, Jeremy. Hi, Robin. Hi. And hi, Rick.
And that's Rick Klein, political director at ABC News. Hi, Rick.
Great to be with you guys.
And, you know, you also have new polls, Rick, a Quinnipiac poll showing Americans oppose the health bill by a 3-to-1 margin. Talk about what's going on today. Turmoil on the Republican side. You got moderates angry. You've got conservatives angry. Still attempts to pacify, we're hearing overnight. What's going on?
Members of Congress have seen those polls, and I've been talking to them, and they are very much split on this. And they're being asked to support something that's not popular, that has conservative intellectuals and outside groups against it, and that probably won't become law because the Senate won't do it anyway. All of this for a president of diminished popularity. And they're saying, why? Why is this going on? And I'll tell you guys, I'm split on this because on one level, you think, wow, this would be a huge blow to Donald Trump. The other level makes you think, how committed is he to this? And we have counted this man out so many times politically. Does he have something up his sleeve?
Mm. Well, Greg, what do you think is going to happen? Is it going to pass? Well, and if it doesn't, whose fault is it?
Well, first, not even addressing the merits of this fast-changing bill. It's high stakes for sure. But I just can't believe that House Republicans would deal such a crippling blow to their speaker and the president from their own party. So I believe that this bill is going to make it. I think they all know that it has little to no chance of passing in the Senate. And if it passes, I think Trump emerges as a much stronger political figure. Certainly, if it goes down, both he and Ryan are in perilous waters and in very difficult positions.
Well, you talk about conservatives. Here's the Freedom Caucus chair, Mark Meadows, emerging from a bargaining session yesterday afternoon.
We had a question just in here now, is does this unfairly penalize veterans? Well, we're not sure of that answer. And if we're not sure of those answers, we need to read the bill and understand the bill fully before we take a vote on it. And so do I think it gives the president a loss? Absolutely not.
And Rick, just weigh in on the way this is happening so quickly. We just heard from Mulvaney saying, this is it, take it or leave it. And a lot of people were making comparisons to the art of the deal and the idea that, you know, you walk away, you just say, that's it. In politics, you don't normally walk away. You try to take more time. Talk about the sort of the time limit on this.
They have not done any of the hard work you normally would do on the front end, working with constituency groups, talking to members of Congress. This was presented as fait accompli. They made some changes. There's frustration that the members of Congress, including members of the Freedom Caucus, don't seem to want to take yes for an answer. But they needed to bake that into the original assumptions because they were always going to be at this position. This is art of the deal meets politics. It's a different game. And if Trump is able to pull it off, it will be a huge coup. If he's not, it's an enormous embarrassment because these were preventable mistakes. And the Republicans came in united on this. Almost every one of them campaigned on repeal and replace Obamacare.
But if he is able to get this through, which is obviously, as we've talked about, a big if, and if it gets through the Senate, Greg, what's going to happen when 14 million people lose their health insurance next year, according to the Congressional Budget Office, and 24 million in the next 10 years?
I think Republicans are going to get screamed at, and 2018 will probably be a bloodletting where Republicans could well lose control of the House, lose control of the Senate. It could just be terrible for them. So, you know,
you're saying
clearly
if it passes,
they're afraid.
It would be terrible for them.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. If it passes, it's going to be terrible for them because people are going to be angry that they're going to lose they're going to lose coverage. They're going to lose protection for pre-existing conditions. Their kids are going to be kicked off. I mean, these are things that they've come to expect, even though there are aspects of Obamacare that they don't like. particularly the increase in premiums.
Well, actually, I do want to ask you about that, Rick, because we are, though, hearing conservative Republican voices saying, I agree with taking out some of the things that were always assumed to be in insurance policies. You know, this idea that we all pick up each other's problems, right? We pay for things that we never use. It's a fungible amount of money. And we were hearing that all of those benefits that used to be just assumed would be in plans were going to be taken out to appease some of the conservatives who are saying, I don't want to pay for pediatric dentistry. It was something that somebody was saying. I don't want to pay for somebody else's maternity benefits. I just want to be clear. How much more is there some deal making still going on?
The White House says not, although the conversations are happening. The legislation is done, and the president has said he wants this vote. Now, I'll tell you, they do not have the votes. There's still talk about this stretching through the weekend, keeping members in town, which would keep them away from angry constituents back at town halls, maybe having the vote as late as Monday. And I would have to think the White House would take that as an answer if they thought they could make progress. But I haven't seen any substantial movement. We've seen more names come off the lists. The conservatives are not yet on board, and more moderates are lining up and saying, this is not good for us. They feel like this is walking the plank for a bill that will never pass. To the point that Greg made, they could lose their jobs over this. They want to make sure they do it for the right policy.
Yeah. One more point on this, and then we do have to move on to Russia, of course, which is always a topic of conversation in our roundtable. But if this does go down, Rick, does tax cuts, is that off? I mean, what happens to the rest of the agenda?
There's a big problem for passing anything because you need Republican unity if you can get anything done. I would just caution to say that President Trump is a different kind of political operator than we've seen in the past. He needs this, though, to show momentum, to show power, to show that members of Congress are listening to his direction. It is linked. I don't know that it's inextricably linked, but you need one to happen for the others to be easier.
Well, look, I'm going to segue to Russia and the investigations with health care. Watch me now. The Republican House Rules Committee Chair Pete Sessions said that Trump is losing votes on health care because of his unsubstantiated claims that President Obama wiretapped him. The Wall Street Journal editorialized that he runs the risk of being called a fake president if he doesn't shore up his credibility. So some are saying that they're tied together. But today we heard both co-chairs of the House Intelligence Committee speak. We learned that a public hearing next week on Russian election interference has been canceled. The Republican chair, Devin Nunes, announced that instead the heads of the FBI and NSA would testify behind closed doors on Tuesday. And then ranking Democrat Adam Schiff came out, slammed Nunes for what seemed to be his singular decision. So where are we on that debate over investigations? Greg, take that up.
You know, I think the Russia story is getting bigger and bigger. It's spiraling more and more out of control. And I think the Republicans in particular are stumbling toward an independent investigation because the American people, I think, are losing confidence that, you know, congressional leadership, both parties, are really incapable of getting to the truth of this. So it's spiraling out of control. There's no question about it. It's getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah. And then we learned on that story from Press Secretary Sean Spicer that President Trump did not know that Paul Manafort, who was his campaign chairman for a time, had a $10 million consulting contract with a Russian billionaire who's very close with President Vladimir Putin. Spicer stood by his claim that Manafort played a, quote, very limited role in the campaign. Here he is.
He was a consultant. He had clients from around the world. There is no suggestion that he did anything improper but to suggest that the president knew who his clients were from a decade ago is a bit insane.
Rick, you've got Paul Manafort's name coming up here, Carter Page, Roger Stone, a number of people that had ties to Russia and that were associated with the Trump campaign. What do you make of what's going on?
The hints have grown, and clearly the revelation this week by the FBI director that there is an investigation and that the president's own tweet had no basis in reality. The tweet is suggesting that President Obama had him wiretapped. This has gotten bigger. There is more smoke. Now, the connective tissue still isn't there. The investigation ongoing, I think the big question becomes, is it possible to have an independent investigation when you have the chairman of the Intelligence Committee briefing the White House in real time? But there's no question. There's so much on the public realm. We don't even know what's going on behind the scenes. vaccines. This has become the issue that could easily consume the Donald Trump presidency.
Well look, the Democrats, Nancy Pelosi comes to mind, have been calling the Democrats novices, calling the Republicans, rather, and Donald Trump novices for some of the calls that they're making. They could be eating those words if he wins today. But do they have a point? Put aside whatever the Republicans operatives were doing with Russia, for a spokesperson to say it's insane for a president to know who his campaign manager's clients were a decade ago, you would think that they would know 40 years ago. That, you know, this idea that they just don't seem to be vetting.
Well, I think that's a real issue, and I think the other piece of that is the relationship with the truth that this White House has. Often it seems as if Sean Spicer and others at the White House are performing for an audience of one, and we know that the president himself has a strained relationship with the truth. So you say things like that are just flatly not true.
Yeah, I also think that, you know, there's a growing credibility gap, and the blistering Wall Street Journal editorial raised a really good point. You know, how are you going to believe Trump on other big issues, if you can't believe him on things such as this? So it's tough.
We got to leave it right there. Greg Moore and Rick Klein, thanks as always.
Good to be with you.